Pray for God's blessing on his word. Our God, break the bread of life to us. Feed us. We do pray in Jesus' name that you help us to hear, to understand by the illuminating work of your spirit. And that our Lord, we would not be careless in how we hear your word, but we would, as our Lord Jesus commands us, we would take heed. We would be careful how we hear, that we not let the devil pluck it from our hearts, the cares of this world to choke out your word. It brings us life, renews us in your image, our God. It brings us repentance by the powerful working of your spirit. And so now, our God, teach us of your goodness. Make us to realize how faithful you have given us even our daily physical bread. And we pray that you bless us now with that bread of heaven, even Jesus. Do so again, our God, that we may live and walk in your ways and trust you above all earthly powers. And thank you for your countless benefits for our body and soul. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The catechism lesson from number 125. Coming near the end of the Lord's Prayer here, we come to the fourth petition. I'll ask the question and let's all answer together with the portion there in bold. What is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide for all our bodily need, so that we may thereby acknowledge that you are the only fountain of all good, and that without your blessing, neither our care and labor nor your gifts can profit us, that we may therefore withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in you alone. Portion from our catechism, number 125, and teaches us that praying in the Lord's Prayer for God to give us our daily bread is really quite a loaded request. And we'll want to consider some of those things more carefully this evening. Would you turn to Psalm 104 in the Word of God this evening, our sermon text? Psalm 104, and we will read the whole psalm as we consider that line there toward the end of it. He gives every creature food in due season. And so the title of the sermon tonight, he gives us food in due season, our God, who so mercifully, graciously, generously feeds us and provides us with all that we need for the body. What is this to teach us spiritually, friends? That's what we'll want to consider especially this evening. See if my voice holds out. God's blessing even on that. Let's read now the Word of God, Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire. He set the earth on its foundations so that it should never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. The mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock, plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth, and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the rock badgers. He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness, and it is night, when all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan, which you formed to play in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord. O my soul, praise the Lord. So far, the word of God this evening from Psalm 104. May his Spirit bless it to our understanding and to our edification. Beloved congregation in Christ Jesus and friends, as our Lord taught us, we need not worry about the things of the body. Not on a regular basis, not on a daily routine sort of basis. Our clothing, the Lord Jesus teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord knows we need it. He clothes us. Our food, we need not worry about where our next drink or bite to eat is going to come from. The Lord Jesus tells us, your Heavenly Father knows what you need. He's going to abundantly provide, far better for you than he does for the birds of the air who never go without. Words of our Lord are true. They are faithful. Our God is generous. He does know our needs, and he will provide. We do not need to worry about these things. But that doesn't mean we don't ask for them. There's a big difference, isn't there, between, on the one hand, worrying about where these things are going to come from, and very few of us need to worry about those things, living in such a prosperous land as we do here in America. We may not ever need to worry about where we're going to get a drink or a bite to eat. That's a very great blessing. It's amazing that we don't think daily about how many people there are in the world where that's not the case. But we are well provided for. How much worse than our complaints, right, about what we're wearing? Oh, if I could share with you, I won't mention any names, but oh, if I could share with you some little girls that I hear talking about their clothes. It's really something. I do it too on occasion. It's silly and it's sinful. We might laugh. It can be cute, but it's also very often sinful, isn't it? That we will have so much provided to us in the way of clothing and shelter and food and drink, and yet we'll complain on and on we go. Friends, it is a great reason for our shame that we do this. We are to pray about these things. We are to look to God to give them, and we're to thank him when he does and bless his name, as the psalm teaches us to do. This prayer is about so much more than simply asking God for our next bite to eat, or when you sit down for a meal praying and, you know, saying the blessing, as you may call it in your family, or as some might traditionally call it, saying grace. Whatever it is, the evening prayer, the mealtime prayer, we don't only pray for those things, we bless God for them and we thank him for those things. We should and we must. But it's some, I trust for you, as I know it's true for me and my family, it can become such a routine thing, thanking God for your bread, for your food, that you only do that That's just part of the way we know where to pray. And so when we're praying at mealtime, there's that quick, you know, thank you for the food and nourish us. And that's the way we normally pray. And it's the way, you know, I normally pray before mealtime. But friends, the psalm here this evening would have us have a much deeper and broader sense of God's providing us with all material blessings that he gives us so graciously. And to think not only about the material goodness there, but spiritually, to think about the Lord and who he is and what he's doing, what it means, what's the significance of that simple thing we so easily take for granted, that God gives us our bread every day, multiple times throughout the day, whenever you want it, I trust. What does that mean about our walk with God? Our catechism gives us great wisdom this evening, instructing us of the sanctifying, deeper sanctifying truths of just noting that simple fact that God gives us our daily bread. And so I'm not going to camp out on any of my points this evening very long. I don't trust my voice is going to last more than a few minutes. But I do want to make an attempt here to share with you these three points. First of all, in our prayers, we must praise the Creator who is pleased to provide us with every good thing for the body. In our prayers, we must praise the Creator who is pleased to provide us with every good thing for the body. We ask for those things, don't we? Where our Lord Jesus instructs us in the Lord's Prayer. Pray these words, Lord, give us our daily bread. Provide for us what we need for the body, not just food, shelter, clothing, employment, whatever it is, a car, transportation, medicine. Some of us have great need for chronic illness and disease that we struggle with. And we need to ask the Lord for these things. But the Word of God teaches us not only to ask, of course, for those many things that we need for the body, but to praise God. In fact, this whole psalm that we just read, a very long one, Psalm 104, it does very little of asking the Lord, please, Lord, give us daily bread. In fact, from beginning to end, it's really praising the Lord who does so wonderfully and generously give us our daily bread. And so one of my hopes here this evening is that we'd be trained to praise the Lord and meditate upon the good things that he gives us. Not merely thank him for that food, but for all those material blessings. The psalm really opens up our horizons for what we're to consider in the way of God's physically blessing us with many material good things. It's a praise psalm in large part for the Lord's blessings in creation, and especially his blessings in providence. If you notice in the first part of the psalm, verses 1 through 9, I'm not going to read them again, but you have a picture here where the psalmist blesses the Lord and is praising God. But you'll see there in the first few verses, he's talking about the Lord riding through his creation. Did that strike any of you as a little bit strange, maybe? You don't read it all over the place in the scriptures. It's here and there. Children probably, if they were paying attention, they might have perked up at that point and thought, God's riding his chariot through the clouds and in the wind? What a very strange thing for the psalm to say. But here's the point of it. He is this king. And wherever he goes, wherever he rides, so to speak, he just makes things be whatever he wants. And look at the creation. Look at what he's made. And not only his creation, but I think you have in view here providence. You even may have a picture of the flood, where the waters covered the mountains, but then it says there in the psalm, he's appointed the place for the waters as they recede, and they will cover the mountains no more. It seems to have the flood in view, and that afterward God says, no more flood on the earth. Not a worldwide flood anyway, that will wipe out all life. He commands, you see, the psalm is saying, the Lord as this king. It's like if you get human beings, we don't follow his commands too well. But everything else in creation perfectly follows his commands. That's the picture. He's riding through, and whatever he shouts out from his chariot, boom, there it is. The rocks, the trees, the streams, the mountains, the valleys, the fields, they all obey his word perfectly in every detail. We should learn from God's his sovereignty in creation, his majesty as the king riding through. He speaks and it is. They all obey him. But there's more to it. When you get a picture here, this glimpse of God riding through, you might have a sense, I don't want to be flippant when I say this, but you might have a sense that he's enjoying himself. If you were a king and you were just able to go out through your kingdom and shout out this, that, and the other, and everything you said instantly and perfectly was obeyed, that would be awesome. The psalm gives us a picture of God riding through the creation, through the winds and clouds, on his chariot, as it were, and he's loving it. He loves doing it. I'm not making this up. I'm not just being imaginative. Look with me at the end of toward the end of the psalm, verse 31. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Now, notice those words. You're always hearing in Scripture, we rejoice, right? He blesses us, we rejoice, we give thanks, we praise him. Here's God praising himself. You and I aren't allowed to do that. God's worthy. His works are perfect. It is the most perfect and natural thing for him to do, to rejoice in his works, to find pleasure in his handiwork, to look at his generosity and his abounding goodness and all of the wisdom and all of the beauty that he's made, and for him to delight in it, to rejoice that he's made all of these things. The Lord rejoices in his works. And that is why in this first point, very simply, I say that in our prayers we must praise the Creator who is pleased to provide us with every good thing for the body. He delights in doing it. It's not only his sovereignty in our prayers that we must recognize. Our God, the Creator, who does his awesome and powerful will wherever he turns. But it's also our taking this to heart, that he is pleased to do it. And this is what our catechism says, that when we pray this, give us, O Lord, our daily bread. Notice what our catechism says, that we're praying really, Lord, be pleased to provide for our bodily need. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord is pleased. He doesn't just do it on autopilot. That's sometimes how we act, right? God, he's done this for us every day. We have all these blessings. They're all lined up and ready to go day after day. He so faithfully provides. But while he faithfully provides, and he's merciful to do so for you and me, sinners, right? Even for the unbelieving and the wicked throughout all the earth, he still provides all those daily comforts and blessings and needs. But he delights in doing so. He rejoices in doing so. And friends, in our prayers, we should take that to heart, to praise the sovereign Creator who controls all things, but also to ask him, Lord, be pleased, and have that confidence that he is, in fact, pleased. He rejoices to do these things. He loves to do it. He loves to pour out the blessings. In our prayers, let's be mindful then of his sovereign dominion, but also of his sweet delight in all of his handiwork and all of his providence and all of the good gifts which he pours forth every day. And let's remember to ask for those blessings, friends, but also to praise God. Jesus teaches us, in fact, when we read in the Gospels at mealtime, the Lord Jesus does this, doesn't he? He prays. Leaves us a wonderful example when he's going to make the bread and fish multiply for 5,000, right? He says a blessing beforehand. What's the blessing? Well, in one aspect, he's asking God to bless the food for those who partake of it, that they'd be nourished. But on the other hand, he's blessing God. He's giving thanks. We hear that every time we take the Lord's Supper. The Lord took the bread, he broke it, and when he had given thanks, he gives God thanks, his Father in heaven. He teaches us to do the same. So we ask for those blessings. We also learn to praise God and thank him for those blessings, and to think of all of his handiwork in creation, all of his generosity and abounding goodness and providence. Lord, loved ones, meditate upon those things and know that the Lord rejoices, delights in doing this. Well, secondly, in our prayers, we must depend on God to bless the processes. To bless the processes by which every good thing comes to be. What do I mean there, children? That God blesses the processes of creation and of the world and all the things that we see going on. Processes, right? That just means something's happening. Something's being made. Something's being accomplished, being done. The point that I want us to focus on here for just a moment is that while the psalm praises God, extols his great name for all of the blessings that he pours down from heaven, the rain, right, giving drink to all creatures and feeding them, there's sort of a chain here. If you didn't catch it, let me just draw your attention to it. It starts in verse 10. You make springs gush forth. So he waters the earth, and follow the chain, how the water blesses and the blessings just continue to multiply. The springs go through the valleys and they flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The animals have drink. That's good for you and me. It's good for the animals. It allows us to eat them. He gives drink to the land, the fields. He makes everything to grow that we may eat them. And the psalm goes deeper to think on the Lord's handiwork in creation, but to go further to think of how God provides for all of the processes by which man labors in the world and makes things, good things for ourselves, right? Because we do. God doesn't directly bless us single-handedly with every good thing, right? I remember some time back having this conversation with my children when they were a bit younger. And we're thanking God who's made all the good things. And they start saying, so he made cars too. And he made toys, right? And, well, no, he didn't. And so you have to have that conversation with those little ones. What does it mean to thank God who's made every good thing? Aren't cars and toys good? Yes. But while God didn't directly make those good things, he's made it possible for us, given our ingenuity, right? Given our creativity. He's strengthened us in our minds with creativity and skill and technology and all those things. And the blessings, of course, of the creation. He's blessed us to be able to use it, to make something more of it. And the psalm actually looks at that. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock, so food, plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth, and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. Now, the Lord didn't directly make wine and oil and bread, but man's made these things from the good providential blessings of God. The trees of the Lord are watered. They're shelter for the birds, the high mountains for the goats, the rocks for the badgers. So shelter is in view here. And then it goes on even further to talk about God appointing the seasons, darkness and light. And all of these things, and the food, of course, that he gives to every creature, he feeds them and gives them their food in due season. And finally, in verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are your works. See the word there, manifold? He doesn't just pour down rain and sunshine, although those are very basic and very important to every living thing. But he provides for us all to have life and breath and movement and health and strength to do everything we do. And we need to thank God for those blessings. We don't look at the work that evildoers, unbelievers in this world do and say that it has any saving good before the face of God. But when you look out there into this world of sin and depravity and fallenness and ignorance and foolishness from a spiritual standpoint, can't you on the other hand marvel at what man is equipped by God to do? It's amazing what he's equipped us, even the unbelieving, to produce, to manufacture, to design, to with great skill to produce so many good things for our greater health and comfort and intake of food and whatever else. Friends, how manifold are the works of God. It would do us good more often to meditate on those good works of our God which he even produces through the unbelieving, and to thank him for those things, and to ask him to bless them. Because without his blessing, as our catechism says, our fruit in labor will bring forth nothing, nothing good. Notice from our catechism again, give us this day our daily bread is a prayer that means for us to ask God, be pleased, Lord, to provide for all our bodily need, so that we may thereby acknowledge that you are the only fountain of all good, and that without your blessing, neither our care and labor nor your gifts can profit us. See that last part? All the care in the world, all the work, all the blood, sweat, and tears we might pour into a project, if the Lord doesn't bless it, it falls to pieces and returns to nothingness, worthless, waste of time. How many times has that happened? For you, for me? You know what that's like. The Lord gives us strength to make bread and wine and oil. The Lord gives you your strength every day to go and make ends meet, employed in the many callings that he's given you. Do you pray for him to continue to bless your labors? Not just to give you the strength to do them, but in your working itself, for it to be a blessing to your neighbors and for it to bring praise to God, and for you to have the strength and the diligence and the endurance to excel, not just to do it grudgingly, but to do it well for God's honor and glory. Friends, we should pray that the Lord would indeed bless these many things. As we read in Psalm 90, you could turn there if you like. The last verse of the psalm. Let the favor, this is Psalm 90, verse 17. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. You see that? When God favors us, whether we are believers or not, when he has some gracious blessing for us, then our labors count. They mean something. They produce something. Lord, establish the labor of our hands. This is also part of what it means to pray, give us our daily bread. Psalm 128 as well. I got to read this psalm. It really does focus on this, the Lord's blessing in all that we do. It's a short psalm. You can read it with me. Psalm 128. Blessed be everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. See, you labored, right? You went out, did your work, got the paycheck, went to the store, paid for the groceries, brought it home, and there's your food. You did all that, right? No. You did it with the Lord's blessing. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. The psalm is very much a wisdom psalm there, like Psalm 104. A wisdom psalm because it gives us that insight, friends, that without the Lord's blessing, none of these things happen. And when we have his blessing and we can recognize it as Christian people, how much sweeter. Now, let me just challenge you to think a little bit more deeply for just a moment. When you know that the blessings of your food and shelter and your clothing and your employment and every bit of success you have in life, when you know that that is from the gracious hand of your God who's blessed you and has strengthened you to do this and that and the other thing, how much sweeter it is to enjoy those blessings. In other words, the unbelieving, they partake of all those blessings too, don't they? I mean, they have food and they have shelter throughout the world, in some measure or another. They have all these things. They do their work, they go get their food and they eat it, and they enjoy it much of the time. But in their enjoying it, they can ultimately thank no one for it. How sad. In their enjoying those things, they can ultimately thank no one, namely God, but they also are unable to realize that simple thing that God's done all these things, that he may rejoice in them and that we may rejoice in them and rejoice in him from whom every blessing flows. So in other words, friends, when you're enjoying all those things, we should delight in them, knowing the Lord gives them to us for our satisfaction, good things for us to enjoy. Our God is not to be our belly, as Paul says. That's for the wicked. But when we do enjoy our food and drink and whatever we do, success in work, whatever good thing comes from the hand of our God, it should be all the sweeter because we know he's strengthened us to go out and get these things and do this and that. It comes from him. So we don't ultimately have to say, well, this is a nice, fortuitous turn of events, nice little accident by which I'm eating this delicious meal, and by chance having this great success in this project at work and, you know, been commended for it and gotten a promotion or a raise or whatever. Just, you know, the unbeliever can just say, ultimately, that's just by, you know, just by chance. Doesn't have to thank anyone especially for that. We should thank our God for all those blessings and realize he gives them to us for blessing, that we might return the blessing to him and thank him and praise his name and take all the more delight in those things. And friends, let me challenge you just a moment more in this way. If we're not doing this on a daily basis, we're no better than an atheist. I mean, what is the difference between a Christian? I'm not talking about Sunday because you have to get out of your mind the really good work you do for the Lord by coming to church. I say that tongue in cheek. We're not really doing the Lord any favors, right? He doesn't need what we bring him at all. But let's say Monday through Friday, you're out there in the workplace and you call yourself a Christian and you know all those good things come from the Lord, but if you're not thanking him for all of them and pleading with him for blessing upon everything that you do, what difference is there between you and the atheist who also doesn't do those things? Practically none. Do any of you live like atheists any day of your lives in any of these things that we're talking about this evening? I fear that in too many aspects of our life, maybe we thank our God for our food every day, but in too many aspects of our life, of our work, and the things we go out and try to accomplish and produce and make, we don't look to the Lord to bless those things. We must, friends, that as our catechism instructs us, we can learn to trust him from whom all good things come and withdraw our trust from every creature. Because ultimately, all these good things come from him. And if we're not praying for those blessings and thanking him, see, the reality is, we'll be putting ourselves in a position not to trust God for them. You see how that works? Your trust in the Lord for all those blessings is deepened and made stronger by your daily practice of praying for the blessings and thanking God for them when he provides. So if you're not doing those things, it would be no wonder that when calamity strikes, you're not trusting the Lord. You haven't been trained through prayer and through thanksgiving and through petition for God to provide. You haven't been trained to look to him, to his hand to provide you for all things that you need, for even your bodies. Friends, we weaken our trust in the Lord when we're not praying for every good thing that we need, for body and soul, and blessing him and thanking him, praising him for those many gifts. Finally, third point this evening. In prayers for daily bread, we are to remember we shall perish and must look for lasting life through a different bread. In prayers for daily bread, we are to remember that we shall, all of us, perish, die, return to dust. And therefore, we must look for lasting life through a different bread. Just as bread perishes, friends, every creature shall perish and return to dust. You and I, all of us, every living creature under the common curse on the earth will perish and return to dust, should the Lord tarry. Should remind us all the more of God's grace. I would even say common grace. You may not like the language. I don't know if you object to that language, but at least that goodness of God that we see in creation. where so many of the wicked, they partake of these good things, just like you and I. Maybe they don't enjoy the sweetness of it because they don't recognize it from the hand of God. But they nevertheless benefit from so many good things of food and shelter and clothing and work and all of the things of this life. They enjoy them and they fail to give God thanks for them. Friends, it is a marvel that God pours out so many blessings on us sinful people, on unbelievers and believers alike. His abounding goodness and generosity is seen daily. And it should remind us, as he provides, that as surely as he gives, he also takes away. The psalm reminds us of that truth, doesn't it? Notice, would you please with me, go to Psalm 104 and notice a few verses here toward the end. The verses that I trust most folks remember, if they remember any of this psalm, this is oftentimes the portion that's remembered. Verse 27, these all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. He gives, but notice he takes away. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. See, the psalm isn't just a psalm of praise and thanks to God for all his blessings. It's a wisdom psalm that makes us realize where all good things come from, that we may praise God, we may rely on him and trust him for all that we need, body and soul. And this is where the psalm turns us spiritually to look for God to give us that which does not perish, that bread which actually endures forever, the bread of heaven. It doesn't mention Jesus by name, but it's the Lord who's the author of life. He gives it and he takes it away. The psalm reminds us that all of us shall return to dust. Therefore, to whom shall we look to give us everlasting life but the Lord our God, Jehovah? Knowing that we all are dying people, we are provided with so many good things that sustain us day after day, but we are all finally going to return to dust. Where shall we go to have lasting life? What bread shall we eat? The Lord Jesus is that bread of heaven, friends. He's given to us through not the common grace of God, but saving grace, where God, our mighty God and Savior, brings us that bread and in the power of his Spirit, feeds us through faith in Jesus, on that one who lived for us, a perfect man, who blessed God for every good thing, who thanked God when we fail to. He is that one who prayed, isn't he? Prayed for everything. You and I have no idea how much he prayed. You get glimpses of it, especially in Luke's gospel. He wasn't play acting, you know, God in our flesh, we considered this morning. You know, prancing about, going through all of this land of Canaan as if there's nothing troubling him because after all he's God. No. That's not what the Gospels show us. They show us a man of sorrows, a man who often didn't have his daily bread. That's the Jesus that we're given. And when the disciples come to him and they say, aren't you going to eat something? He says, this is my bread, to do the will of my Father. That's the man who prays, the righteous God-man, our Lord Jesus, who prayed for every blessing from God, his blessing upon them, and gave thanks. Friends, let us learn from the Lord Jesus himself, but let us also run to him and give thanks to God that he has provided for all of us who believe in Christ Jesus. He's given us that bread, which we eat in faith. As he says in John 6, anyone who eats my flesh, drinks my blood, he's not speaking carnally of cannibalism or any such thing, but he's speaking of trusting in him, feeding upon him by faith, knowing what he's done for us, the perfect man who's prayed, even give us our daily bread. He's prayed that even for us, friends. Let us thank God that he's provided us with such a perfect Savior who teaches us to pray, but who even prays for us and continues to as a righteous and faithful intercessor who's able to help us in our time of need. Friends, we see in the end of this psalm the warning to the wicked. Verse 33, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and the wicked be no more. They all shall die, friends, but for us who look to Jesus Christ and feed on him, we are not the wicked. We are the righteous by the grace of God, and we shall endure and live forever through our Savior Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.